It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
That was President Bill Clinton, and that was 1998, and 18 years ago. And some of you don't remember it because you were too young, or maybe you weren't as involved in what's going on in the world at that time. But that was the president speaking to the American people and actually giving testimony. But then we find out that, well, maybe that wasn't true after all. And as a matter of fact, the investigator asked him basically on tape, you stated that you had no sex of any kind or any form with Ms. Lewinsky, but it was an utterly false statement. Is that true? And this was his response.
Of your relationship with Ms. Lewinsky, the statement that there was no sex of any kind, in any manner, shape, or form with President Clinton was an utterly false statement. Is that correct?
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yes.
All right, and so that was the president. It was an amazing time. Perhaps many of you listened to my interview with Dave Schiffers, who was the chief investigative counsel for the House Impeachment Committee, hired by Congressman Henry Hyde, who was chairman of the committee. And Dave was with us last Friday, and if you haven't heard that interview, you'll want to hear it. And in the process of telling us his story firsthand again, he mentioned Dolly Kyle Browning. Now, Dolly's name was not as prevalent during that time. I remember the name, but she wasn't as prevalent, and there's a reason for that. Dolly actually knew more about President Clinton and Mrs. Hillary Clinton than anyone probably on the list. And Dave was going to call her as the first witness, but the impeachment trial never took place in the Senate because not a single senator bothered to look at the evidence against President Bill Clinton. Joining me this morning from her home in Arkansas is Dolly Kyle Browning, who first met Bill Clinton when she was 11 years old. And she is, by the way, an attorney, an author, and she's just written a new book called Hillary, The Other Woman. Dolly, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to talk to you. And I do go by my maiden name only, Dolly Kyle.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the correction. Dolly, in your book, you talk about your first meeting with Bill Clinton. You were only 11 years old. He was almost 13, and you describe it as fireworks. You know, when I read that, I'm thinking, you know, when I was 11, I was still playing with dolls. I didn't know anything about fireworks. You must have been a very mature young lady.
I don't know that I was. I used the word thunderbolt, which is the Italian expression. Yeah, and I'm not sure that I was interested in boys until then, but boom. There it was.
And the interesting thing about this is that you guys just became really good friends.
We did. We were very good friends in high school. We dated. We didn't go steady with each other or anyone else. We just dated. But more than anything, we talked and talked and talked, and we became very close friends so that we knew each other as friends for 15 years, if you can believe it, before we ever had a sexual relationship.
And then that relationship, your relationship with him, one way or another, spanned 2 decades, right?
We met in 1959, and it ended completely in 1992 when Peter Williams, the independent British journalist, who wrote the story about Jennifer Flowers, found out about me, contacted me, had my story. I called Billy to warn him about it, and Billy's response, rather than being supportive and helpful, was, if you cooperate with the media, we will destroy you. So that was the end of it.
Yeah, and we're going to come back to that, because that's really key to our discussion. You have a lot to say about your knowledge of Bill Clinton and his behavior, and we will talk a little bit about it, because there's a danger he may be back in the White House. We want to center a lot on Mrs. Clinton and who she is and what her part in the treatment of the various women that he either abused, raped, or had a consensual sexual affair with, her role in trying to destroy them, because that's key to what's happening now since she wants to be president. But I'm just curious about something. Dolly, did you and Bill Clinton ever discuss marriage? It sounds like he was the love of your life. Did you guys never talk about getting married?
We did. We did discuss marriage. Two different times, once at the end of high school and once much later. And Billy said that I was a distraction to him and that he needed to concentrate on where he was going, which I guess he thought he couldn't do with me, which may have been true. But so we thought that was kind of ending it after high school, and that was before we ever had our adult sexual relationship. So we were wrong about that. It wasn't over.
Yeah.
But then later, I was married, divorced, had three little children, and we sort of had a reprise of that same conversation. In fact, Billy brought it up out of the blue and said, it was so bizarre. Seriously, out of the blue. He said, you realize I could never marry you. And I said, I'm sorry, I didn't know we were discussing marriage. He said, well, you would be a political liability.
Why would he say that? I mean, you were a beautiful woman and certainly accomplished in your own way. You went to law school. You have a sister who's an attorney. Your family's very, established in the South. Why would he say that about you?
Because I had been married and divorced and had three children.
I see. At that point in time, you were a liability.
At that point, yes. As I said, we discussed it twice, once early on and then that time. And that was when he had already been dating and living with Hillary for a couple of years at that point. But when he moved in with her, as I said, we were friends all this time. So in 1972, he told me that he was moving in with a fellow law student named Hillary. I said, oh, Hillary, so what's the story there? Now, mind you, we were not having a sexual relationship at this time. We were friends. And he said, well, you know, it's no big deal. it's like she had a place to live and he was moving in with her. And I think anyone who knows anything about the Clinton Foundation recognizes that this is a guy who has been a moocher for a long time and now he's doing it on a grand international level. But there's nothing new. There is nothing new about what the two of these people are doing. And that's a lot of what I talk about in the book. I lay the foundation. I show the development of this. And there's not a thing that happens, Sandy, not a thing that happens on any given day that isn't already foreshadowed, foretold, and analyzed in my book.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's called Hillary the Other Woman, which is an interesting title, I'm sure, for a purpose.
But, it's obviously a play on the word other, because when I met Hillary in 1974, as I said, I already had this long-term relationship with Billy, so in theory, she was the, quote, other woman at that point. But we put the face of Hillary away from the camera on the cover of the book to indicate there is an other woman behind the scenes. There is a person who is not seen on the camera, the person Hillary tries to hide from the public and has done a very good job of it.
Yes,
that is the other woman I talk about in the book.
So you are in a position to know a lot about her because he confided things in you. Let me ask you, before we get into the things he did confide, were there things he confided that you did not write?
That I didn't like?
You did not write about.
Oh, that I didn't write about? Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. I didn't even want to write this book, okay? I really did not want to write this book. And the end of December last year, I was watching a pre-recorded television show, and I was zipping through the commercials, and I saw Hillary on camera. So I backed up, and I looked at it, and it was that infamous clip where she said something like, women who claim to have been raped and sexually assaulted should be believed. We must support them. And it made me so angry. I thought, you lying hypocrite. Yeah, I'll support them unless it was Billy who raped them, unless it was Billy who sexually assaulted them. And I was so angry, I sat down and started writing this book. It took me 65 days of writing. I didn't write on Sundays. It took me 65 days of writing. I turned out 92,000 words. I covered each of the major topics in a chapter that's maybe 4, 5, 6 pages long. And in chapter 46 of Hillary, the Other Woman, I talk about the big problem. And the big problem is that the problem is so big. A normal person who has lived a relatively normal life can absolutely not wrap their minds around the breadth and depth of criminality of these people and how they've gotten away with it for so long. So what I do in chapter 46 after this little intro is I list Clinton scandals and contacts and things that people can look up online if they want to. In alphabetical order, the Clinton scandals, and it takes 11 pages.
Dolly, you must have felt, during all those years of the Clinton scandals, listen, I felt it from a distance because I covered it on radio, and I knew, you know, some of the key players like Dave Shippers and Congressman Hyde. You must have felt like you could never get away. You know, that like the daily headlines were a reminder of your personal life and your personal heartache and torment and all of it.
Well, yeah, I think heartache and torment's a little strong.
Really?
I did start writing back in the mid-80s. I started writing a therapeutic journal. After my second divorce, I said to myself, what is the common denominator in these divorces? And some people might want to start listing things about the two guys that I had married. However, I'm a very realistic person, and the only common denominator in those two marriages was Dolly Kyle. And I concluded the problem must lie therein. And
Dolly, I got into therapy. It's funny you should say that, because you must have been raised by the same dad I was raised with. You know, a different time and place where you had to take responsibility. My dad would say that to me. Sandra Kay, if you're having the same problem with several people, you're the common denominator.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And so what I did, I got into therapy, and the therapist suggested that we keep a journal, and I started journaling, and that's what turned into my first novel. But what was really important about that process is that I came to realize that I was actually a sex addict. And I traced it back. I'm not making excuses for it, but I traced it back to when I was 16 years old. I had graduated 2 years early from high school. I was getting ready to go to college. Billy and I graduated in the same class, although he is 2 years older, because I skipped two grades. And on August 1st of 1964, I was drugged and raped by one of Billy Clinton's friends. And that horrid event changed the trajectory of my life. And women who've been raped and sexually assaulted have suffered from incest, and not just women, men, boys, girls. There is a consequence to that, and if it's left untreated, very likely the person will become frigid or promiscuous, but they will not have a normal sex life.
All right, Dolly, let me interrupt you. Dolly Kyle is my guest, and her new book is Hillary, the Other Woman. And when we come back, Dolly, thank you for your honesty. And that's what you show in the pages of your book. And that's the only way healing and correction can come to any of us. We've all had to do that, those of us that are honest thinkers and certainly those of us that trust God. And so when we come back, let's talk about the first time you met Hillary Clinton, because that's a pretty incredible story and kind of a backdrop to some of the rest of the details you know about her. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The great story here for anybody willing to find it and write about it and explain it is this vast right-wing conspiracy that has been conspiring against my husband since the day he announced for president.
That was the voice of Hillary Clinton. The vast right-wing conspiracy was her construct in the midst of all of these accusations by women against her husband. By the way, I have to tell you, as someone who was on the air covering all of this, the first time Bill Clinton ran for president and the second, it was no secret that he had a problem with women. There, before this impeachment inquiry ever came up, there were story after story. I had the Arkansas troopers on my show talking about how they used to have to obtain women for him and all of the nightmarish, horrible stories. Honestly, I couldn't believe that Bill Clinton was elected to president. And Dolly Kyle is my guest. She was his lifelong, since she was 11, friend, close friend, and later lover from 1959 to 1992. And she's written a new book called Hillary, the Other Woman. And Dolly, before we took the break, you were in the middle of talking about how you discovered yourself after having been raped by one of Bill Clinton's best friends, that you had, it just messed you up for such a long time, and you really understood that you had become a sex addict yourself. And so finish that if you can.
Okay, yeah, very quickly. I went through that process, realized I was a sex addict, got into serious recovery about it, and because Billy and I were still friends, and actually still lovers, I told him about it, and we went through the questions of Sex Addicts Anonymous, and he admitted to me, oh my God, I am a sex addict. And at another time, he admitted to me that he had had sex with over 2,000 women. So that is a backdrop, and it's not, it is not just casual sex. It's not permission. I mean, it's just, it's a horror story is what it is. I'm sorry. It's a horror story, and Hillary has covered up for it all these years.
Well, see, and that brings us to her, the mystery of Hillary and how she has tolerated that and who she is. And so we're going to unpack that a little bit. So Billy, so I'll adapt your terms here,
yeah.
Goes off to Yale, to law school. He tells you he's moved in with this law student named Hillary, and he tells you it's no big deal. She has a nice place, and he's just hanging out there. But fast forward to, I think it's the day you said William Fulbright, who was his mentor, it was election night, and he was up for re-election. And Bill Clinton flew in and met you at the airport. So tell us what happened.
Yeah, I picked him up at the airport. I was supposed to take him to the TV studio to do a statewide interview and then go to Fulbright headquarters. And after we went to the, oh, well, I guess the important thing that you want to know about is he showed up at the airport and this dowdy-looking middle-aged woman got off the plane with him. And when she got closer, I realized she was not middle-aged. She was our age, and she looked and smelled horrible. And Billy said to me, Dolly, this is Hillary Dolly. And, of course, I knew immediately that that was some sort of a joke because this couldn't be the woman he had moved in with or whatever. I mean, oh, my gosh, it was awful. And she smelled so bad. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I've got cloth seats in my car. What's going to happen? That was my thought. But we got to the TV station, and this dowdy-looking woman who I did not believe was Hillary was watching the election returns. And when Billy finished with his interview, we went and got in the car. I headed toward Fulbright headquarters, and Billy says, we need to go back to the airport. And I said, why? Fulbright's expecting you. And I did emphasize in the book that Fulbright wasn't just his mentor. He was as close to a positive father figure as anyone ever in Billy's life. So this was a huge thing. And Billy said, well, didn't you see the election returns at the station? I said, yeah. And he said, well, Fulbright's losing. I said, well, I know he's losing. All the more reason to go over there and give him your support. And he said, I don't want to be seen with a loser.
His good friend and mentor. So he left him, didn't go by,
just turned his back
and
on
just
him
flew back.
Just like that.
All right. Dolly, did you have any inclination? You did not believe that Bill Clinton was romantically involved with Hillary, as you have described her?
I didn't realize that was Hillary. I really thought it was a joke.
No, but I mean, but by the time they, but when you sent them off on their way to, on the plane, did you still think it was a joke, or did you, what was your assessment of what was happening between them?
I did not know that that was really Hillary until I talked to someone later who had seen her at the station and knew who it was and says, yes, that was really Hillary. But I will tell you that from that night, I had a kick in my gut from Billy's turning his back on Bill Fulbright. This is a man who was loved in Arkansas, even though he lost that night. I mean, he'd served 30 years in the Senate. Everyone loved him. He helped one of my brothers get a presidential appointment to the Air Force Academy. He'd been close to my dad. I mean, it made me sick. And even then when I realized that it was Hillary, and that was a horrible thing for him to have me pick him up at the airport. We're having a sexual relationship at the time, and he has me pick him up with this other woman with him. I mean, how bizarre is that?
It's very bizarre. And I wanted to read to you a quote from this is from Edward Klein's book, The Truth About Hillary. He interviews a college classmate of Hillary who says the notion of a woman being a lesbian was fascinating to Hillary, but she was much more interested in lesbianism as a political statement than as a sexual practice. Hillary talked about it a lot, read lesbian literature, and embraced it as a revolutionary concept. What do you know about that, Dolly?
I don't know about that particular thing at college. There's a couple of things I know, and there's one thing that I surmised. And what I surmised from what I learned about sex addiction and all those things, I think that Hillary Rodham, probably at the time, was sexually molested by a woman. I believe she was sexually molested by a man, probably a man in uniform. And she's had no healing from any of that, so she hates women. She hates men. And I think she can have sex with anything, and it doesn't bother her because she is so disconnected from her own self, her own sexuality, her own being. She doesn't even know who she is. She is an other woman, but she doesn't know who that woman is, and she hates everyone, and I think it's very clear to people. The other thing is, years later, Billy and I were at a sweet moment at the governor's mansion, and Hillary was God knows where, and Billy said to me, "I want to have a baby," which took me quite by surprise. I said, "Do you think that's a good idea? I mean, we're both married to other people." And then he was taken aback, and then he laughed a bit. He said, "Oh, I didn't mean with you." Silver-tongued devil that he was, right?
Yeah. So yes, right. Yeah.
I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He said, I need to have a baby. We need to appear to be a normal couple, and we have to take attention away from the warden's lifestyle." Now, he called her the warden because, for obvious reasons, she was the one in charge of his prison there.
Okay, so Dolly, what does he mean by the warden's lifestyle? What did he mean?
I took that to mean the fact that she had this lesbian lifestyle that people talked about in Arkansas all the time. It was an open secret. And no, she never made a pass at me. So, I mean, I don't have any absolute direct evidence other than Billy said the warden's lifestyle. Now, here's the thing. At this point, I had known him for, what, 25 years or more? I mean, when you know someone that long, you don't have to define words when you're talking.
Yeah, no, but I just because people are listening to you and they're making some big decisions right now, Dolly. And of course, then they might, I guess, let me ask the hard question. Like someone would be listening, why should they trust you about this? I mean, are you sort of jealous? Could you be jealous of Hillary and that's why you would say such harsh things about her?
If anyone thinks I am jealous of Hillary, let me assure you that I still have my full faculties, and Hillary is cognitively impaired, as I discuss in my book. She is a physical and mental and spiritual and emotional wreck, and I am a healthy person, and I thank God for it. But to be jealous of someone who is married to a serial rapist and sex abuser, to have had to live a life of lies day after day after day, no, I'm sorry, I can't be jealous of that. And if I sound a little bit angry from time to time, you can call it righteous indignation, if you wish, that someone who has based their entire political life on lies is standing at the threshold of the White House of the United States of America, my country, the country I love. Yeah, I am angry,
yeah.
But I am not jealous of that horrible excuse for a human being.
Dolly, after the baby was born, Chelsea was born, this, can you imagine the trauma for her to hear this stuff? She's been hearing this all of her life, you know? She's
just remember that Hillary was very proud of the fact that she berated that child at the dinner table every night telling her all these horrible things that people would say about Billy, bringing her to the point of tears to try to make her strong enough to stand up to all of this. That child, Chelsea, was brainwashed from an early age. I feel sorry for her, but you know what? Just like everyone else, at some point in your adult life, you need to go figure out what happened, what your responsibility is, how you can heal, ask God for help, and go after it. And it hurts. It's worse than killing snakes, but it's got to be done.
Dolly, let's go back to the moment in time with your relationship with Bill Clinton when you called him and he wouldn't take your call. And then I want to kind of move into when you started being threatened to yourself. Explain that.
Okay. 1992, the Jennifer Flowers story had just broken in Star magazine. Billy was campaigning in New Hampshire. One of my brothers, who had campaigned with him since 1974, who was a pilot who flew him around, borrowed airplanes for him, did all of that, who was also a lawyer, helped Billy with his speeches, was right-hand guy with him for many, many years. So he was up there in New Hampshire. So I called Billy's office in Little Rock. This was, of course, before cell phones or before we had cell phones. And I called Billy's office in Little Rock to say that this guy who had the Star magazine story on Jennifer Flowers had left a message on my answering machine. I wasn't going to talk to him, but I wanted to talk to Billy about it. I mean, I was pretty upset.
Dolly, hold on just one second. Let me explain, because people need to understand, because remember, there are people listening who don't know any of this. Jennifer Flowers was a mistress of Bill Clinton, another mistress. She was a singer. She's also one speaking out about, they had a long-term affair. It wasn't a consensual relationship, unlike many others, Juanita Broderick and others. But you had not heard about her before, so you're calling him about this.
I didn't know Jennifer by name, but let me say this. I don't like the use of the word mistress, maybe because I have the old-fashioned definition of someone who's being kept in a nice penthouse somewhere and being supplied with all kinds of niceties. That's not what Billy did. Billy used women and had relationships with them, but he never set anyone up and plied them with gifts and chocolates, okay?
Yeah.
So the word mistress, I mean lover, whatever, but mistress, I don't think so.
Okay.
Anyway, so now everyone has just heard about Jennifer Flowers, and I didn't know her by name, but again, Billy and I had had the sex addiction discussion. He told me he'd had sex with 2,000 women, so this was no surprise to me. What was a surprise to me was this guy left a message on my answering machine telling me he'd been researching my story for the last 3 weeks in Little Rock, Hot Springs, and Dallas, and he wanted to speak to me before they published this story. So obviously I called Billy not just to warn him, but to get a little commiseration. I mean, we'd been friends at this point for 30-something years, right? So I felt like I had a stake in this, too. I mean, I wasn't running for president. I was, in fact, at that point teaching Sunday school.
Wow.
I didn't want to be in a tabloid.
Right.
Anyway, so I called Billy's office, and then my brother called me back from Billy's headquarters in New Hampshire. And some of these calls, I could hear Billy in the background. And so he was the go-between, and he told me Billy was afraid to talk to me. He was afraid that I would record the conversation like Jennifer Flowers had done with hers. And so the bottom line was, and even though I had no intention of cooperating with the media, the bottom line from Billy, conveyed through my brother, was, if you cooperate with the media, we will destroy you.
Your brother's saying this to you.
My brother said that.
Your Dolly, is he just relaying a message, or is your brother saying this to you too?
He relayed the message. Billy's sitting there right beside him.
We will destroy you. All right.
We will destroy you. Okay, so I hung up the phone. I didn't talk to him anyway. And then there's more in there about the 60 Minutes thing and Hillary wanting me to be on that with them. And
well, wait a second. Wait a minute. Well, let's talk about that for a second, because they wanted to orchestrate a 60 Minutes interview where you would be sitting there with Bill and Hillary. I don't know what their point was. What were they? You supposed to just say you were a friend?
Was that they would admit that he'd had a long-term relationship with me, that we had been friends since we were children, and as Billy said, it's the only relationship he ever had that made any sense. And that was going to be it, and then they were going to say, you know, this is what happened, it's over, all is forgiven, kumbaya, we're all friends, ride happily off into the sunset, and deny, deny, deny about Jennifer Flowers. That was their plan with them. Trash her, trash any other woman who came forward and said, no, 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 it was all Dolly. And I said, you've got to be kidding me.
Now, I'm so wait a second, that. Dolly, who's asking, all right, just to be clear, who's asking you to do that, to be on CBS 60 Minutes and to pose and to act like Jennifer Flowers doesn't exist and that everything's fine with you and Bill and Hillary?
Okay, well, I had hung up on my brother and quit talking to him, so the next call was, the rest of it was negotiated through my sister.
Oh, my goodness. Your sister was an attorney, too, was an attorney there, too.
Here's the thing. Our families have been friends for decades.
Years with the Clinton family. Dolly, we have to take a break. You hear the music. So hold that thought. And we'll take a short break. We'll be right back. Dolly Kyle is my guest. Her new book is called Hillary, The Other Woman. It's available through WND Books. And, of course, you can hear it's a very interesting book. And you can learn a lot about Mrs. Clinton in this firsthand account from Dolly. We'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Kathleen Willey was a White House volunteer who alleges that President Clinton sexually assaulted her. Willie says 2 days before she was set to testify against President Clinton in the Paula Jones sexual harassment case, a stranger confronted her.
And he said, hey, Kathleen, did you ever find your cat? And he said, you're just not getting the message, are you?
The Clinton attack machine immediately targeted Willie. Her car was vandalized, her house broken into, and a cat's skull was left on her porch.
And I don't understand how any woman in this country could vote for a woman who does that to other people. They're power hungry. They stop at nothing.
That's the voice of Kathleen Willey in a documentary for Jeremiah Films. Kathleen was a Democratic operative who went into Bill Clinton's office needing help because her husband had died suddenly. She needed financial help, and she was assaulted by him as she came out to tell her story. And then, of course, she was threatened. And the thing that Dave Shippers told us, he was the chief investigative counsel in the impeachment hearing in the House, the impeachment inquiry in the House, that Kathleen's cat was brutally murdered. Then she's standing in her yard, and as she describes just then, but not quite as completely as Dave did, a man jogged by and asked Kathleen how her children were and named them by name. And then a little bit later, I don't know if it was the same day or another day, he jogged by again, and he said, you're Kathleen Willey, right? And she said, yes. He said, are you going to testify? And she said, yeah, I sure am. And he said, you don't get it, do you? And then Dave Shippers, the chief investigative counsel, told us on the air last Friday that it was Hillary Clinton who hired that man to go and intimidate Kathleen Willey. My guest is Dolly Kyle, who's written this book called Hillary, The Other Woman. Dolly, tell us about, do you have any direct evidence that Hillary had any part in the attempted threats to you or the silencing of you?
The direct evidence would be the conversation that she had with my sister about doing the 60 Minutes thing, but it all comes together again and again and again as we go forward, and they attacked me by attacking my credibility. That was the thing with them. And I do want to add one other thing, because you asked me earlier about your listeners and my credibility. Dave Shippers wrote the foreword to my book, and I was investigated by the FBI thoroughly. I never told a contradictory story. I never filed an affidavit saying something different. And if someone wants to look online, you can Google Dolly Kyle, Paula Jones deposition, and you can see Billy's own lawyer confirming that I had a long-term sexual relationship with Billy that was consensual. The whole thing is available if anyone cares to look. And so I never told any lie about it. I also have come to know Kathleen. We've talked on the phone many times. the day that she went to ask Billy for a job at the White House, she was already a volunteer there, and her husband committed suicide later that day. She did not know when she went in to talk to Billy that morning that her husband would commit suicide later, that they were having financial problems, and that's why she asked for the job. But Kathleen Willey, I think, at that point was so afraid that she did sign an affidavit recanting her story. And this is what a lot of people did, and this is what the Clintons do. They scare people into changing their stories, and then they vilify them for being liars, even though they've been intimidated. So later, in 1994, when I finished my first novel, which was loosely based on this therapeutic journal I had started years before, someone hacked into my computer and got the story, and Billy's right-hand guy, Bruce Lindsay, told my sister that they didn't want my novel published. And she let him talk about it for a while, and then she said, well, how'd you get a copy of it? It's not out yet. No one has it. It's still in Dolly's computer. And Bruce Lindsay had no answer for that. But, you know, that's before we knew how easy it was to hack things, and I don't think my computer even had much of a firewall at that point, so it was no big deal. But Billy and I ended up, through the intermediaries of my sister and Bruce Lindsay, having this deal about what I would do in marketing my book. And the bottom line was that I wouldn't tell the whole truth about him, and they wouldn't tell any lies about me. So the next thing you know, there's a false story planted about me in the New Yorker magazine, ostensibly written by Jane Mayer. It's only been in the last couple of years that I realized that the sniveling sycophant Sidney Blumenthal, who's responsible for the Benghazi video and all those things that we know about, he's big buddies with Jane Mayer. So I think that this story came from Hillary to Sidney to Jane Mayer. The Washington Post got a hold of it, and I thought they were going to be doing a story on that because they sent a reporter to Dallas, but they didn't do it. And then I found out that Jane Mayer was married to the editor of the Washington Post. So how cozy is all that?
Very cozy.
Yeah, it's all very cozy. And here's the other thing. Hillary points fingers at other people. Like, she talks about this vast right-wing conspiracy. Well, I never could find the headquarters of it. But if you want to find the left-wing conspiracy, go to George Soros. Go to these people who are funding all of this, who are funding the rioters, who are doing all of these horrid things. What Hillary does, this is from Psychology 101. It's projection. She calls Donald Trump a racist. Why? She's a racist. Look in the book, Hillary the Other Woman. Read about the lawsuits filed by African Americans and Hispanics under the 1965 Voter Rights Act for racial discrimination in Arkansas by Billy Clinton. And come on, if Hillary's going to ride his coattails, she gets to take this too. People don't know about these things.
No, they don't.
And Hillary says that Donald Trump hates women. Excuse me, Hillary hates women. Hillary has been attacking women for 45 years. She started with Marla Kreider in 1974 at the University of Arkansas.
What happened with that?
Her.
I don't know that story.
It's in the book. Sorry.
All right. Oh, we have to read the book to find out, huh? All right.
Well, I mean, look, there's 92,000 words. We can't cover it here. And as I said at the end of the book, I could have written an encyclopedia, but I'm so sick of these people. I hope this is enough. And at the end of the book, chapter 50, I talk about two major things. One is the 17 truth suppression techniques that the Clintons use to keep these stories quiet. And I expounded on that a bit in chapter 47 called Media Magic, or How to Make a Story Disappear. And the other part in chapter 50 that's so important is about Hillary's increasing cognitive impairment. Now, mind you, I sent this book to the publisher March the 15th, okay? It was done. And no one started talking about cognitive impairment until this came out. And then people look at it at the same as I did. Go to the Centers for Disease Control. Look at the symptoms. Here's the thing. You don't have to be a doctor to do this. If you saw your granny exhibiting symptoms like this, you'd go to WebMD or the Centers for Disease Control, and you'd look up these symptoms, and you'd say, what's wrong with Granny? Well, here's the thing. Granny Hillary is losing it, and I explain that in the book. Now, how she got drugged up enough to do these debates, I don't know. I mean, seriously, I don't know.
Yeah,
because
it's a
woman is cognitively impaired.
Well, it's an interesting situation. We certainly have videos that make us concerned about her health. I find it kind of an interesting thing that she's been, every time she's in public lately, she seems to be all put together. So I don't understand that, considering the videos that we've seen where she wasn't so put together. But that's an amazing thing. Did you ever think, Dolly, that it would get to this, that Billy Clinton, would actually be president for not one, but two terms in office?
Oh, yeah.
You did. You thought he was going to pull it off.
I knew it. I knew it in high school, and everyone else knew it in high school, too. I mean, people wrote things in his annual, like, good to know you, Mr. President, and see you in the White House, and things like that. So when Hillary met him in 1971, I'm sure she picked up on what we all picked up on 6 or 7 years earlier. This guy's going to the White House. There's some people who just have it. They have that it factor, whether they're in sports or music or acting or whatever. You see them when they're kids, and you think, they're going to make it. That person is going to make it. And
Dolly,
he had that.
All right, so he certainly does. He's got that Q factor. We would call, you know, on stage we'd call the Q factor. But now, though, another wrinkle, the other woman, Hillary Clinton, might be our next president. We'll know in about less than 2 weeks.
Maybe.
So, Dolly, what...
Maybe.
What, I said maybe in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Dolly, what do the American people, what further do they need to know about this decision from your perspective?
Well, I will tell you this. I have said all along that if a person is supporting Hillary, they are lacking information or integrity. I can help with the information. If someone can read my book and still vote for Hillary, I'm sorry. That person has no integrity and no love of this country and no understanding of the globalism that she is a puppet for and a part of. So I don't know where we're going. I am praying. I am praying every day for my country and apologizing to God that we asked him to leave. We asked him to leave our schools, our courts, our businesses, everything. Like, get out, God. And now a lot of us are saying, oh, please, please, please come back.
Dolly, it sounds like you have really sorted through your own personal demons on this. Has the book been cathartic with that? And in what intersection, you've mentioned God several times, you said you taught Sunday school. Has God played a part in your own healing?
Oh, absolutely. But I had no catharsis whatsoever from this book. The catharsis started in 1986 when I started writing my novel, and that was almost 10-year process. That's where the catharsis was. I can turn this stuff out just like I'm talking to you. I don't have to cry. I don't have to get all upset again, because at this point, I'm just reporting the news. This is just what happened.
You mentioned, it really surprised me that you, I was going to ask you if you had befriended or become acquainted with the other women. There's like 2,000, as you know, many years ago there were 2,000, so I'm sure you don't know them all. But you do know, you know, Kathleen Willey, you know, Juanita Broderick. How did that all come about? And was that an interesting, I must have been, very interesting to interact with them?
Well, Dave Shippers suggested to me many years ago that I should talk to Kathleen Willey and gave me her number, and we talked back then. And Juanita Broderick contacted me by Twitter in May or June of this year when I had just gotten on Twitter, and then we private messaged back and forth, and then we talked on the phone. And the first time we talked, I told Juanita that I was so happy to talk to her because I had been wanting to apologize to her for all these years. And she said, why would you apologize to me? And I said, because I was with Billy at those times. I was with him in that period of time, 1978, when he raped you. And I can't believe I did not see this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde split personality, this person who could be so charming and so sweet and so loving and viciously rape you. I said, it just makes me sick, and I'm sorry.
Dolly, if this book could accomplish what you wish it would accomplish, what would that be?
At the end of the book, I say, I put enough information here to get thinking people thinking. So that's what I want. I want thinking people to think. And I guess I am sad to say that we've had a couple of generations of people who went through schools where they're not teaching thinking and logic and rational reasoning, but they are teaching how to pass a test. And we need a complete reversal of our system to go back to teaching. When we took God out of the schools, we should have put ethics in. I took ethics in law school. They didn't have to talk about God and religion to talk about ethics, but we threw the baby out with the bathwater, and we now have people thinking that it's okay to riot and tear up a city and attack police because someone is killed. I mean, please. We have lost it, and God help us.
Yeah, I think so, too. We only have a minute left, Dolly. I would just be interested, and this is kind of an impossible task, and so, all right, 30 seconds, really. How would you compare what you're reading about Donald, or hearing about Donald Trump, and what you know about Billy Clinton? 30 seconds only.
The Donald Trump stories are mostly lies put out by Hillary. They're a drop in the bucket. And if I want to say this, if someone can't afford to buy my book, contact me. I'll send you a check. Everyone needs to read this.
All right. It's Hillary, the Other Woman. You know you can get it on Amazon or probably in bookstores. It's WND Books, and that's how you get it. Dolly, I really appreciate your time, and thanks for writing this book and trying to warn the American people. And we're happy to give you a chance to expand your message. Thank you for joining me.
You're very welcome.
All right. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.